Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
For Jesus to come. faithful in all that you do. Have you fought a good fight? Have you stood for the right? Have others seen Jesus? Are you ready to stand in your grace? Are you ready, oh, just to look in his face? Can you look up and say, this is my Lord? Are you ready for Jesus to come? Don't you cling to this world and its treasure, this old earth is gonna soon pass away. Oh, give your love without measure. He's calling you today. Are you faithful in all that you do? Have you fought a good fight? Have you stood for the right? Have others seen Jesus in you? Are you ready just to stand in your place? Are you ready to look in the screen? Can you look up and then say, this is my Lord? Are you ready for Jesus? Are you ready for Jesus? Are you ready for Jesus?
Program this morning. Thank Cookie. I miss having Cookie sing for me. You know, up in San Francisco, Cookie was the minister of music. And rough area. And we ministered to a lot of people up there in San Francisco. Dr. Longo, thank you. You know, God is so good. He has just blessed me to be able to lean on certain individuals in my ministry. As I think back of the churches I've been at, he's always sent me those to give me a good spiritual foundation and a good support. Friends from the past have just showed up at some of my churches just to help me along the way, Sister Angela. And that is good. That's a good thing. You can see how God works and brings people in your life at certain times to encourage you. And I appreciate you, Dr. Longo, and your ministry and your musical talents, ability to preach the word. I could just tell you love good preaching with all your heart. I know you love it. I love it too. Thank you all the musicians for the music today, our praise team. Can you say amen for our praise team? We're going to get that testimony. Something wonderful happened to this young man as Dr. Longo was talking about prayer and faith. And I want you to come on up at this time. This is a practical example of what Dr. Longo was talking about, praying and believing even before it happens. And something happened in this young man's life that he wants to share that gives you a practical look at what Dr. Longo was saying. Tell us what happened.
This past Thursday, Brother Dennis Evans took me to the DMV to take my written test for my driver's license. And that morning, I was reading the little handbook, the hand manual. And I was like, all right, I think I got some of this down. But I prayed 2-3 times. The first time I took it, my uncle on my dad's side took me to the DMV and I failed all 3 tests. I was on the internet, I didn't read the book. But this time I actually read the book. I was like, okay, I see what they're talking about. My grandpa told me, he said, don't believe the internet, just read the book. That's what you need to do. So I believed him. I read the book. I prayed a few times. And then after that, I read the book and I have an app on my phone with the questions. And I was like, all right, I got this. I don't even have to trip on it. So the whole day, I was walking, and Dennis asked me, he said, are you ready to pass this test? And I said, I already passed it. And he said, well, okay, let's go see. I got there, and I registered and all, got the test. And I read the first 5 questions, and I told myself, this is the day I'm going to get my permit. The test that I got was the last test that I took last time and failed. Very good. And I was going through it, and I ran across about 4 or 6 questions I wasn't too sure on. I circled the ones that I really didn't know, and I kept going. And there's one also on the back that I circled. So there's 3 ones I was definitely unsure on. But everything else, I was positive. I was like, okay, I missed 5. I finished, double-checked it. Yep, I missed 5 questions. No more than 6, for sure, I hope. Because you can only miss 6, otherwise you got to retake it. So I took it up to the lady, and she was looking at it. And I told her, I said, I missed 5 questions. And she said, well, we'll see about that. And she was going, and I tried not to look. I tried to stand behind the counter. And was like, okay, don't show me. And her arm was just going like this. No. And then she said, all right, well, you missed 5 questions. It's like, lady, you don't have to tell me. Just give me my permit so I can be on my way.
Now, what did you learn about prayer through this experience?
Just trust and believe. That's all you can do. Trust and believe. Trust and believe.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful to hear from our young people and see how God works in their lives and how God answers your prayers as well. He's a good God. He's a good God. Praise the Lord. I just wanted to share that testimony with you. Let me just, one other announcement came late here. Women's Day is next Sabbath, and we'd like for everyone to participate in the potluck. Bring your entire best meal. Meet by the piano, by the organ after church, Pam Hollowell, Women's Ministry. Try to remember to mention that a little later. I want to thank you for that scripture text today. Let's look at the book of Mark this morning. The book of Mark, the fourth chapter. Going to be looking at a parable this morning. And Mark, the fourth chapter, verses 26 through 29. The Bible says, and he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth, verse 28, for the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that, the full grain in the head. Verse 29, but when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. The harvest has come. This morning we are going to look at this text and try to open it up just a little bit with the title in the imperative of growth. The imperative of growth. Let's pray. Dear Lord, here we are waiting to hear a word from you this morning. We've already been blessed, Lord. Sabbath school, praise time, the offering with our giving, even as a part of worship, Lord. And Lord, we are now waiting to hear a word from you this morning, a word that can change our lives, Lord. We need a word this morning to encourage us, Father, to make it through this life, this temporary life on this earth, Father. Now, Lord, bless us. Hide me behind your throne this morning. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. The imperative of growth. Imperative of growth. There This parable in Mark, the fourth chapter, in one sense, is a correction provided for any ancient or modern disciple who might be feeling discouraged with the amount of labor, fruitless labor, they had extended toward those with hearing problems. And to sum this parable up, the bottom line of this parable that Jesus talks about in Mark, the fourth chapter, this parable of the growing seed is that things are happening even when it doesn't look that way. And this parable is for those who are impatient with what they see in the church. What they see around them. This parable is for people who wish that everybody who claims to be a Christian would just shape up and become everything that they should be right now. And the main lesson of this parable is that it's not that human effort is unimportant. After all, farmers must sow the seed and eventually harvest the crop. There is a job for farmers to do, and they need to probably do some cultivating in between. And Jesus here in this parable is not denigrating human effort. On the other hand, he is definitely teaching that humans have limits to what they can do. See, the farmer in this parable sleeps. After he sows the seed, he goes back to sleep. Jesus tells us after he has planted a crop, he goes back to sleep. But just because he's sleeping doesn't mean nothing is happening to the seeds. The seeds are germinating and taking root underground, out of sight of the farmer. Things are taking place, but the farmer has no part in it at all. There's nothing he can do. So germination is not something that he is capable of causing. Talking about the farmer. He could only do his part while leaving the rest to the God of nature. And that's the way nature is. I was traveled up to the farmland this past week, and I noticed some nature there. I was out at the Rupert Ponderosa. I was trying to find a name, Ponderosa. And there I noticed that the cows were out all around. And by the time Douglas and I left, we saw the cows line up, nobody behind them whipping them. And they just started lining up, going back to the corral. I'm saying, isn't that strange? Nobody's telling them what to do. They just lined up, start following each other. They knew a time to do it. I don't understand this, Shirley. I just don't understand how they do that. You can explain it to me later, but they just start, it was just automatic. Nobody coaxing them, no sticks and ropes. They just went back to the corral. And I understand they do this in the morning, too. They just go out, roam on the mountains. And when they get ready to come back, they just line up, go right back to the corral. No help at all. And I thought about that when I read this parable. You know, sometimes we work and we work and we work trying to win souls that sometimes we get in the way of the Holy Spirit trying to do his work. Jesus tells us that that's what the kingdom of God is like. Individual Christians, we can plant gospel seeds in the minds of family members, and that's all we can do. Or even total strangers, we could witness and tell them about the love of God and what he's done for us. But they can't make the gospel germinate in a person's life. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. No human can change another person's heart or give an individual a new birth experience. All we can do as Seventh-day Adventist Christians is plant seeds and cultivate them. God alone performs the new birth experience of John 3rd chapter. The Bible says the wind blows where it wills. Jesus said in explaining our inability to understand the process, and you hear the sound of the wind, but you do not know where it comes from or whither it goes. So it is with every one of us who's born of the Spirit. We, like the farmer, can do our part and then rest. Not comprehending how the Spirit works any more than the farmer of Jesus' day truly understands or could control germination. Sometimes we, in our hastiness, get in the way of the Holy Spirit trying to win people to Christ. It's God's doing. I went to Africa in 2007, and I had ideas of baptizing hundreds of people. You know how you hear them stories of thousands of people getting baptized. So here I am going to Africa, Togo, on a mission trip, and we get there, and I'm just all pumped up, ready to baptize 200 or 300 people. The Lord said, "You must be crazy." He sent me way out to a tiny little village way outside of Togo, 25 miles outside of the largest city of Togo. Gave me a little tiny little tent to preach in. And I'm thinking, man, what am I going to tell my friends when I get back from Africa? I want to tell them a big story that I baptized 500 people. You know, I'm thinking those terms, bragging rights, you know. Got out there, and the Lord blessed me, though. Blessed me with 25 people. Precious souls. 25 precious souls. Sometimes we get in the way of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. And since then, I've heard from a few of those souls that I've baptized. God is still working miracles in their lives. One man that I baptized had 4 wives. Don't get any ideas, gentlemen. But before he got baptized, he had to get rid of 3. We prayed and we prayed, and somehow or another, he was able to work out the problems and the issues with the other 3. And that man got in that baptismal pool and got married. Got a picture of him. Lord blessed. Germination, success in evangelism. Sometimes, and I love meetings, but in order for the church to grow, the church needs to have good soil. When a church has good soil, it'll grow automatically. We won't have to get in the way of beating people over the head with Bible studies, and I love giving Bible studies, but when your church is a healthy church, people will be drawn to the church because of the health of the church. When your church has healthy leaders, when it has a good praise service, when it does good fellowship meals, when it does good ministries, when it has all these components, it becomes a healthier church, and people will be drawn to your church as a result. And this is what Jesus is talking about in this parable. He says in Matthew, the 6th chapter, he says, consider, he's talking to his disciples, consider how the lilies of the field grow. He says, observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon, in all of his glory, clothed himself like one of these. And the parable, when he talks about these lilies, is not to observe the beauty of the lilies, but rather to observe
how they grow. Jesus is illustrating the growth of the kingdom of God. It's not a manufactured growth, but it's a natural growth. The lilies do not work at growing. They don't have to work at growing. If they are healthy, if they're in good soil, they will grow all by themselves. So declares Jesus, will his church. It's like the little boy who wanted to grow big and strong like his daddy. Every day he would go outside and go to the clothesline and just hang on the clothesline, stretching all of his muscles. And then he would come into the house and measure himself, see how tall he had grown. We laugh at that, but that's what a church sometimes does. It stretches itself and works hard to advance the kingdom of God. However, if the boy is healthy, if that little boy eats the right food and gets plenty of rest and exercise, he will grow automatically. He won't have to go outside and hang himself on a clothesline and try to get taller. So will God's church. And this is one of the greatest scriptural examples of this principle in Mark, the fourth chapter. This seed that the farmers are sowing, and we are the farmers. We're farmers. We're disciples. God has called us to sow the seeds and then to gather the seeds. So God has called us, this farmer that sows the seeds, the farmer doesn't cause the seeds to grow. All the farmer can do is create healthy conditions for the seed. Good soil, plenty of water, and a weed-free environment. Then add a little sunshine, and the seed sprouts and produces crops for the farmer. How does this happen? No one knows. It happens all by itself. It's not the work of the farmer. It's not the work of the pastor. It's not the farmer that causes that seed to germinate in the ground, but the blessing of God upon healthy conditions. And Jesus is illustrating for us how the kingdom of God grows. The church does not grow because it uses the right methodology. But when those methodologies, whatever they are mixed in with good soil, water, and sunshine, growth happens all by itself. One day, Southside, you're going to look around and this church is going to be packed. You're not even going to know how it happened. Growth happens with a good, healthy church, when there's good leadership in the church. When there's good Sabbath school teachers in the church, when there's people that come to church with joy in their hearts, who love to praise and worship the Lord during the praise and worship time, people will be drawn to Southside. We could have our own evangelistic meeting every Sabbath. People will be passing by, hey, what's happening in Southside? Oh, this is a bunch of happy people and they're enjoying themselves. Well, I want to be a part of that. The Holy Spirit does the work. He's the one that draws people to the church. Here's Ellen White. Ellen White endorses this union of the human and divine and the work of winning people to Jesus. She says on her comments on Mark 4, she says that if we don't resist, God will bring the increase. She says the material world is under God's control. The laws of nature are obeyed by nature. Everything speaks and acts the will of the Creator. Cloud and sunshine, dew and rain, wind and storm are all under the supervision of God and yield implicit obedience to His command. It is in obedience to the law of God that the spire of grain bursts through the ground. First, the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. These the Lord develops in their proper season, because they do not resist his working. What an amazing conclusion. If we do not resist, God will provide the harvest. And could our church be putting up resistance that make it difficult for God to provide the harvest he wants? What are we doing, Southside, to put up resistance for God to do his thing? And could this resistance be in the form of ill health? What if we removed all the unhealthy obstacles in Southside and allowed our churches to grow naturally? See, we always want to call in the evangelist. Get the evangelist to do it. He's getting paid. And we just want to come sit and listen to the evangelist do the work. No, that's not the master's plan. Jesus declared in his word that the church grows according to the principles of nature. So we got to study nature to learn how to grow Christ's church. Ellen White further elaborates on this basic principle. She says, and in dealing with men, he manifests the same principles that are manifest in the natural world. The beneficent operations of nature are not accomplished by abrupt and startling interpositions. Men are not permitted to take her work into their own hands. God works through the calm, regular operation of his appointed laws. So it is in the spiritual things that he works. She says Satan is constantly seeking to produce effects by rude and violent thrust. But Jesus found access to the minds by the pathway of their most familiar association. He disturbed as little as possible their accustomed train of thought by abrupt actions or prescribed rules. Now, we are great proponents of the health message. And from our very beginning, we have stressed this healthy lifestyle as the essence of what it means to live a long life and better life. We have developed the 8 natural remedies for good health. These remedies are the basis of the Adventist understanding of physical health. And could there be a connection between these 8 natural remedies for physical health and church health? Might there also be these 8 natural characteristics of good church health? And they've done a survey, and some of you probably know about this survey they take. All of these 8 natural characteristics of church health, there are certain things that if your church is strong in, it shows that your church is healthy. And we'll be looking at these in the future. I want to kind of open these up to you in the near future. Talk about what it's like to have a good, healthy church. Small groups. Ever heard of small group ministries? That's the sign of a healthy church. Small groups. Empowering leadership. Having leaders, spiritual leaders, called by God to stand up and teach and preach and share the word of God. Gift-oriented ministries. People operating in their own gifts. Passionate spirituality. Those who are passionate in spirituality. Also, inspiring worship services. Now, that's something Southside has. inspiring worship services. These are signs of a healthy church that draw people. I've heard people come to Southside and say, boy, we really enjoy your praise service. I wish our church was able to praise the Lord like that. They love the praise service here. So we score high on that. Another sign of a healthy church, need-oriented evangelism. Need-oriented evangelism. That's a sign of a healthy church. Sharing the word of God through giving and going out feeding those who are hungry and clothing those without clothing. We can't just keep everything in Southside. We have to go out, minister to the neighborhoods, to the convalescent homes, minister to those who are sick. That's a sign of a healthy church. Prayer warriors. Brother Willis, that's a sign that Southside is healthy. Looking forward to our 7 days of prayer. I forgot to mention that we're going to do. Those are signs of a healthy church. Listening to the Holy Spirit lead the way. See, the Holy Spirit is very sensitive. Very sensitive. His job is to lead and guide and change the hearts of men and women. We don't need to get in the way of that. God has asked us to sow the seed. The Holy Spirit does the work. We shouldn't try to get in the way of the Holy Spirit. We see that in the Bible where Simon, the sorcerer, he sought to obtain the results of the Holy Spirit by purchasing it. He wanted to buy that power. He saw how that power of the Holy Spirit, he wanted to purchase it. The Holy Spirit is a sensitive person. We try to do his work in our way, he will not do his work. He will not sing a duet. If the Holy Spirit can't do the solo part, he'll slowly tip away. Quietly tiptoes away, and he lets us flounder with our own flimsy substitutes. It's the Holy Spirit that does the work. It is his job to comfort me. If I try to comfort myself, he will quietly tiptoe away. And his departure is such a quiet one that Samson did not even realize that the Holy Spirit had left him powerless. It is the job of the Holy Spirit to strengthen me. If I strengthen myself, he will not do his work, but will quietly tiptoe away. This does not mean that I should not stay in good health and exercise and eat right and get proper rest. If I try to supply my own power, if we try to supply our own power in preaching, he will tiptoe away and quietly leave me to do it alone. If I go soul winning in my own strength, Bible workers, he will not argue with me or push himself on me. He will, as a quiet, peaceful dove, take his flight, leaving me and you to wallow in our own strength and to flounder toward failure. He is our teacher. If I try to read his word and use my own human wisdom, he will not pursue me. He will gently take leave and allow me to study the book alone. How foolish of me when the author is desirous to teach me. Never crack this book without the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit assisting you understand his word. He is our teacher. He will direct us. Many years ago, Henry Ford was driving down a highway. Soon he noticed that a car had pulled off the road. You know who Henry Ford is. He noticed this car pulled off the road and that the hood was up and its driver was attempting a repair job. Henry Ford pulled his car behind this person and got out and asked the driver if he could help him. The driver, in anger, said something like, "Old man, there's not anything you can do that I can't do. You go on, go your own way. I'll take care of this car myself." Talking to Henry Ford. And very quietly, graciously, and gently, Henry Ford got back in his car, drove off. Little did the driver realize that he had turned down the maker of the car. And certainly the maker could repair it. The Holy Spirit, if we listen to him, he comes to us very quietly and unobtrusively, and he says to us, "I notice you're having trouble with your life." And sometimes we say to him, "Oh, I can make it on my own, thank you." He will very quietly and unobtrusively take his flight. And I will have turned down my maker. And certainly the only one who can adequately do the repairs. What I teach in my own power. The Holy Spirit takes leave. When I preach, preacher, in my own power, he likewise departs. He'll let you stand up here and make a fool out of yourself. You can't stand up in this pulpit without the Holy Spirit leading and guiding you. When I seek to make my own synthetic joy, I deprive myself of his joy. When I try to teach a Sabbath school class, singing a special music cookie, a Marlin, teaching a Christian, teaching Sabbath school, when I try to rear a child, when I try to do all I can do to rear that child without the Holy Spirit, it's of no use. The Holy Spirit must be invited to help. He must be invited into our lives every day. He must be invited for every task that we do. He will not force his way to your side. He will simply tiptoe out unnoticed and will not help again unless invited. So be careful. Don't offend him. Do not insult him. Invite him into every area of your life. Depend on him to do that which he has been ordained to do in you. Love him, talk to him, be friendly to him, lest he quietly slips away and leaves you to work on your own energy, which is doomed for failure. Go ahead, try to do it on your own. Second Corinthians 3, verse 5 through 7 says, "Not that we are sufficient ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who has also made us able ministers," this is Paul, "of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." Praise God. Are you resisting his Spirit today? Singers, when you get up to sing and the Holy Spirit sings with you, our hearts are warmed, and life changes happen. But when you get up to minister in front of God's people without the Holy Spirit in your life, you're nothing but sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. So I guess our message is clear. We have been called to be disciples of God, to be seed sowers. Let's sow the seed and let God bring in the harvest. Now, the harvest will come in all kinds of shapes and sizes. It's not for us to judge. We can't stand at the door and evaluate the harvest. See, the seed starts out with just a little germ. It starts out with a little head. Then it begins to germinate. Then it begins to grow into the full grain. And some of us have been here for years. We're already grain. Some of us, the grain is getting a little old and dry. But God did not call us to evaluate those coming into the church. God has called us to sow the seeds on your job, in the cleaners, in the store, in your family. Sow the seeds. You don't know what the harvest is going to look like. And this church could be packed. Imagine if we became a healthy church. And there was no criticism, no judging in the church. You don't have to call evangelists here. The church would be full and packed. Sow the seed and get ready for the harvest. Because the harvest is plentiful, plentiful. Labor's a few. So my prayer is this morning that we begin to become a healthy church, falling before the altar, a praying church, a forgiving church, a not a critical church, a joyous church, a smiling church, a happy church, and watch the harvest happen. Watch it grow. We could go back to sleep. We just sow the seeds and come back every Sabbath after Sabbath and watch the harvest grow. Church be busting over. Your friends will notice a change in you. Prayer warriors praying all the time, covering people in prayer. People leaving church with the Holy Ghost filled, telling their friends about Southside. Holy Spirit working upon them. People seeing Jesus in you. Jesus in me, like the Jesus in you. So easy. Then they'll be drawn. That's how church growth works in the Bible. That's what Jesus talks about when he talks about the seed. Sow the seed. Go back home. Go to sleep. Let the seed work. Let the Holy Spirit do the work. Don't get in the way of his work. Being critical to those who are coming in. See, you're getting in the way of the Spirit. Well, you don't look like us grain in here. You know, we look a certain way. Give the seed a chance to grow. Let's pray, church. Father, I've done what you told me to do. Now, Lord, is your time. And Holy Spirit, speak now. Some of us here, Lord, we know have been trying to do the work of your Holy Spirit, but we've gotten in the way. We've messed things up. So, Lord, now we're asking that you take full control. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord, and help us to go out, share what God has done for us. If we just tell our story, if we tell of the goodness of Jesus and what he's done for me, our souls will cry out, hallelujah. Thank God for blessing me. Lord, help us to be disciples. Help us to sow the seed and to know our place. And then, Lord, we will shout when the harvest comes in. We will open up our arms and grab the new little seedlings that are coming in. And fertilize them and help them to grow and love them and watch them grow and become full, mature grain, Lord. And then when you come, you will be able to gather us all together. Gather the harvest. Those whom we have won and influenced in our lives. Put our arms around and help to make it through this life. Those who we fed and nurtured and clothed, we will all be saved, Lord, in your kingdom. Now, Lord, maybe there's one here today as we bow our heads and close our eyes that needs the power of the Holy Spirit to work in their lives. Maybe the time is now, Father. Maybe we've been kind of getting in the way of the Holy Spirit to do his work. Teach us, Lord, how to just be kind to people. Just be considerate to people, Lord. Do our part, our human part, which is to love one another like Jesus loved. Give us the love in our hearts, Father, to share with those who are yet outside of this church. Lord, I thank you, Lord. We ask you to speak to the hearts of someone today by your Holy Spirit. Someone here may need and empowering. You may need a special prayer. I want to invite you down to the altar today. If you need a special prayer, you need an infilling of the Holy Spirit. You know, every now and then you have to get an infilling. Come on down to the altar and let the prayer warriors pray with you. Somebody here needs a prayer. Saints, I need you to pray at this time. Somebody needs a Holy Spirit to come into their life and renew their strength. Come down to the altar today. Come down. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. Pray, church. Bow your head. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. If you got some problems you want to come down and you're dealing with, you got some habits you want to break, come on down to the altar. I was at the West Coast Youth meeting, and we witnessed a young lady that was full of demons walk down, struggle down to the altar. Struggle down to the altar. She's trying, you could see the battle going on in her eyes. She was fighting against demons, trying to make her way down to the pulpit. Young lady. We had to get on either side of her and help her come down to the front of the church, and she got down there, and she fell on the pew, then she fell on the ground, and she began to vomit. She began to throw up this foamy white stuff. She was, you could tell there was a battle going on. We prayed for her and prayed for her. We laid hands on her. We don't know what she was involved in. Your problem may not be her problem, but you may be holding on to something that you need to let go of. And I'm here to tell you, by the power of the Holy Ghost, you can overcome that problem. I'm standing here today an overcomer. Come on, somebody. I'm an overcomer. I'm here by the grace of God because he allowed me to stand and be a spokesman for him. I'm here to tell you that if you got any problem today, that's his name. That young lady finally came to herself. She began to open her eyes. She began to claim the blood of Jesus. We made her repeat the blood of Jesus and that she's saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We told her to say it. We looked at her right in her eyes. We told her to say it. And she repeated it. And she was saved that day. Some of you here were witnesses. Some of you here were witnesses. You saw it. And her body just went limp, went to the ground. We knelt down over her and touched her and put our hands on her and prayed over her. This thing is real. This thing is real. You cannot play with addictions. You can't play with the devil and win. He will win every time. Your problem may not be demon possession. Well, it may be. It just may manifest itself in different ways. Oh, there's calm demons too. Come on down to the altar. Prayer warriors, gather them together and pray with them.
Our Father, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus is his name. We thank you for the abundance of your love. That, Lord, we can sow and let it go and let it grow. That we can leave it in your hands. Help us, Lord, as we leave this place, to put our hands in the hand of the man that calmed the water. Yeah. Our hand in the hand of the man that calmed the sea. Yeah. Lead us, lead us, lead us, Lord. Lead us to your cross, to your love, to your freedom, to your kingdom. And we thank you for all that you have already done. We praise you for deliverance. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for this message. Help us to express our thanks through the way we live. Yes. Express our thanks through the way we treat others. Yes. Express our thanks by reflecting you, yes, knowing that if you be lifted up, yes, that's all it takes. Bless us as we leave this place, but not your presence. We pray in Jesus' name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, Stay blessed by the best.